Today I'm joined by our special guest, The Dark Side of M, another horror narrator. Enjoy. I was dead for 3 minutes, and I saw the destination for people like me. By Postmortem 33. My name's Jonathan, and I'm an alcoholic. It always was my biggest and sickest addiction. I started drinking when I was 12 years old. Started smoking at 15. Drugs soon came after that. Weed first, then I moved on to the heavy stuff, cocaine and heroin. Alcoholism ran in the family. I inherited the curse from my dad, who passed away from liver failure when I was just a kid, leaving my mom and I broken and unable to cope with what was going on. Not few were the instances where I tried remembering how my youth was like, and were just constant blurred out images like the ones on a burned film strip. I had tens, if not hundreds, of nights where I came home and straight vomited my guts into the toilet, swearing to myself I'll never do it again. The next day, I started it over. Addictions are suicide. No matter how you look at it, that's what they are. The only thing that I vividly remember, the only constant thing that comes to mind, is the bottle. At age 16, I went to a party and I drank so much that I got to the ER 2 hours later. I can't remember anything from the party, just that they hospitalized me with alcohol poisoning. All my life, I thought that death will come for every one of us sooner or later. You can die at 21, or you can go on to live over 100. It can be a matter of luck and bad luck, or the length of your life can be the result of how you choose to live. Lately, I was feeling death breathing and whispering in my ear. I first died when I was 23 years old. I was just out of an abusive relationship, and when I finally went home, already beat up, scarred and torn, I headed straight out to greet my best friend, the bottle. I started with 2 bottles of whiskey, continued with tequila shots, and ended up with smoking weed. On top of that, I smoked 3 packs of cigarettes. You can imagine I was pretty hammered. I wanted to drink some more, but I was out of everything. I had some beers in the fridge, but I always considered it food. Shit-faced as I was, I went out to the liquor store. I never got there because as soon as I got out of my house, I fell face flat on the wet concrete below. I started choking and felt life starting to leave me. Tears started running down my face and I felt a pain in my soul because I didn't know if I should hold on to life or let it go. I remember I started convulsing violently. Then a distant voice asked me if I was okay. After that, I was taken in the back of an ambulance and rushed to the ER. I heard doctors murmuring some words and a strong, bright light hit me in the face. Then I died. Gasping for breath, I woke up elsewhere. Dying took me to an unknown place, to uncharted waters and territories. I inspected my surroundings, and I saw that I was in a frozen place. And the wind was howling, but I was not feeling the icy coldness stinging my body as I should have. I turned around to see dead trees, the vast wastelands covered in ice and snow, and I saw large caves scattered all around the white plain. In the sky, there was a white ball of light, just beyond the gray clouds that looked like they were made out of sickness. I felt like the sun was depressed and all color faded from it. Pale white icicles were hanging in the air like eons old monoliths. Everything was frozen. The trees, the land, and in the distance there were what looked like naked people wandering about. Men, women, and even children were just going somewhere. I didn't know where at that time. I started walking until I reached a dense white forest. The trees had no leaves and nooses dangled from some of them. while people were hanging lifeless, eyes as gray as the sick clouds. I passed them when suddenly one of them grabbed my shoulder and screamed that he wanted it, repeatedly. Another one did the same, then another one. Soon, all of them started screaming they wanted it. They screamed, they cried, they started convulsing and panting violently and then stopped. I heard a voice calling for me, and when I turned around, I faced a very old man who greeted and welcomed me to the place I was now in. He had a long gray beard and he wore a white hooded robe. In his right hand, he had a gnarled wooden staff painted in red and white, which ended in a red ball that seemed to have some sort of electric current trapped in it. On top of the red ball, a golden spark was floating around in a hypnotizing fashion. Limping, the old man came to me.
"Hello there, young man. Name's Isaiah. I know. You're asking yourself if you're dead and where are you right now. Isn't it so? Come with me. I'll tell you the story of this place, what it is, and why you are here. Let's walk,"
he said, nodding me to go over to his right side near the staff. It was a lot to take in at that moment. He told me that I was in the part of a place where people like me went to, where addicts went after they've died, and that each icicle in the sky represented one addiction. He showed me the three that belonged to me. There were probably millions. This place was called the Frozen Limbo. This specific part that I was in was the Valley of Addictions, where people with all sorts of addictions came to after they died. He was the overseer of the place. He was the first addict to come into it, and it took him over 1,000 years to heal his addictions, and that's when God decided to make him the boss of everything and gave him the staff as a gift. It granted him the power to keep all things in balance, as it should be, and it protected the whole ecosystem from when an anomaly happened. Meaning, when an addiction went so bad that it transformed the addict into a monster. That's when the red ball with the floating light was for, to obliterate it from existence. He told me that addicts lived in each of those caves. They had to live with their addictions inside and try to resist the urge to consume whatever thing they were addicted to. We walked some more and I saw his staff starting to shake and the red ball pulsated with energy. A golden light spinning so fast that it was just a ring. In the distance, a large, deformed man was trying to destroy one of the caves. He told me to stay put and wait for him as he had to deal with the situation and contain it. The monster soon abandoned his project and started charging at Isaiah with all his power and speed. Chunks of flesh fell from the monster's body as he ran, revealing sickly, rotting bones. He suddenly stopped and started vomiting on the frozen ground, a sickly dark purple hue gushing from his mouth, its acidity melting the ice, punching a hole in an otherwise perfect white blanket. Isaiah smashed the staff into the ground, producing a wave of energy that reached the monster and made it freeze in place. He then punched its gut repeatedly with the staff until it punctured its skin and went inside its stomach. The old man started chanting some words and the monster simply exploded. Millions of little pieces of flesh and organs of insides and bones stained the ground as if it needed a touch of color. The color of a deadly addiction.
"That's what happens when your lot let their addiction consume them. Some have the same behavior they had back on Earth. The other ones you saw hanging in the trees. Each time they relapse, they have to spend 100 years in a tree, and then they have to try and get clean and sober again,"
Isaiah told me, his perfectly white robe now decorated with the monster's remains. He then told me that to heal from heavy drinking, smoking, and drug use, I had to stay inside the cave and resist whatever temptation might come my way. He said that each addiction lives in a separate room inside the cave and that they all appear to be different from one another. Before going inside, the old man told me to close my eyes. I felt a burning sensation where my heart was, like my skin was touched by hot coals. I screamed, but I wasn't able to open my eyes as I saw my whole former life flash before my eyes. The pain was short, but it felt like it lasted an eternity. After all that, there were three small red dots that appeared on my chest. He then told me that he touched me with his staff, and that was my mark to bear for my whole life as a souvenir of my visit there. To always remember, no matter where I'll be. I went inside, and there was a bed neatly made beside a powerful orange fire, its light swaying and dancing on the walls. The cave was separated into three compartments, and that's when I saw that a spark from the fire rose into the air and traveled straight to my face, where it stayed and watched me until I knew I had to follow it into one of those rooms. It went inside the third room, where it remained in the air, floating around the small cave. In the far corner, I saw a naked man, lying there in a fetal position. His skin a sickly pale bluish hue. He was covered in syringes, the needles stuck in him like someone played darts with his body. He even had them in each of his fingers, the needles carefully pushed under the fingernails. They were pumping themselves a dark brown liquid inside his body, his veins destroyed. He slowly raised himself from the ground and started walking towards me. He wanted to give me a syringe, while with the other hand he tapped the vein violently, blood flowing from his now gangrenated skin. I froze into place, and I saw the needle going in my vein, and that's when I realized what the liquid was. A friend who was there for me in my darkest and loneliest hours. I kicked it away from his hands, and I remembered what Isaiah said. I took the syringe and pushed it into the man's eye. He fell backward, shrieking, and then he took it out of his eye and wanted to sting me again. I ducked, and then I grabbed him by the back of his head and dragged him outside and threw him into the fire, where he twisted and turned violently until he was mere ashes. That's what I felt needed to be done. I went and laid in a bed for a little bit and gathered my thoughts. I didn't fully understand all these metaphors, but the one thing I knew was that maybe if I kill all my addictions, then maybe I'll go to a better place. Or maybe not. What if this was what I was supposed to do for all eternity and avoid turning into one of those monsters or get hung from a tree? What if this was my divine punishment for all the sins I've made? Another spark came from the fire and lit my face up with its pinkish hue. It led me to the middle room, which was entirely covered in cigarette smoke. I knew the familiar smell. The walls were colored in a dark green color, and there was a bed with a human body on it. The body was connected to a ventilation tube, and I heard it slowly breathing, hissing in the silence of the cave. The body was transparent. It had no features, so I couldn't tell if it was male or female. Think of it as a mannequin, but breathing, alive. I could see all its organs through the skin. They appeared to be healthy and functioning, except for the lungs. They looked like sponges that were soaked in tar. They dripped and dripped inside the body. I was looking at it and asked myself what I was supposed to do and what this meant. I thought that maybe it had something to do with smoking. Then all of a sudden, hundreds of human hands started coming out from the walls and they grabbed me, keeping me in place. Then the body raised itself from the bed and produced a bucket filled with cigarette butts. He took a handful and stuffed them in my mouth. I swallowed. Then again and again. I thought I was lost to the forest where the people were hanged. I even wanted it to end. I wanted to turn into one of those monsters so that Isaiah could kill me from existence once and for all, done and dusted. Then the body opened its chest and it stuffed my face in the lungs, and I straight up vomited a combination of cigarette butts and bile. It was trying to suffocate me with its sick black lungs. Then in the heat of the moment, I had an idea. I started chewing on its lungs, and some of the hands retreated when they sensed the agony. Now I had my own hands free, and that's when I decided to rip and tear at the lungs. I'd ripped them from the body while it fell forward, its head hitting the ground and the body turned to ashes. Now that I had a set of sick lungs, I knew what to do. I grabbed the butts that I vomited and stuffed them inside. They were absorbed instantly. I threw them into the fire. Still shaking and on the verge of insanity, I went to lie on the bed again to rest after all that happened. I needed to rest a bit. Of course, that was not possible as another red spark arose from the flame, hit me in the face, and I instantly blacked out from the shock. I woke up in a different setting, unscathed. I was in a very dark room, and all I heard was soft wheezing from the blackness. I couldn't make out the features of the person breathing. The only things I sensed was that they were in agony and dying. I kept reaching for the wall. When I found it, I also touched a candle and a box of matches. Like something or someone guided me to find them. I struck the match and lit the candle. Curled up on the floor, a man was crying. I immediately reached out to him. I pulled him up and he could barely stand. He had a bottle of whiskey in his hand. "Dad?" I asked as I felt a lump forming in my throat. Shock crossed his face and his mouth dropped. He was absolutely wasted and asked me what I was doing there. "Dad, we're dead. The both of us. That thing in your hand killed us. Or we killed ourselves with it," I told him, tears forming in my eyes, and that's when I noticed the big lump on his stomach. Cirrhosis, I thought. The thing that killed him followed him in the Valley of Addictions. He was forced to live with it even in the hereafter.
"Hey, son, wanna take a sip? Quick drink with your dear old dad?"
he said, not even acknowledging what I said to him. He looked like someone who was supposed to die soon from a lethal disease, but somehow he was clinging onto dear life. Or maybe that was how it was supposed to be. Maybe that was his punishment. "Yeah, Dad, sure, just give me the bottle," I said, pulse rising in my neck. I smashed the bottle on the wall. I then got its neck and pierced my dad's corroded artery with it. Blood gushed from the wound and from his mouth while his eyes turned red. Gasping for air, he collapsed to the ground, choking on his blood.
"Thank you, son,"
he said with his last dying breath. And I started shivering and sobbing uncontrollably. And that's when Isaiah grabbed me by the shoulder.
"It's okay, young man. Just let it all out. You did well. You did what you had to do,"
he said, the red ball on his staff glowing again. Soon after, my dad disappeared.
"He was past salvation, and I wish I could say he's in a better place right now, but he simply isn't."
He then told me that I finished with the killing of my demons. The addictions I had were wiped out, and my body was healed from then. He offered me two choices.
"Young man, you can now have a new shot at life, or you could calmly go to heaven in the kingdom of God. You've earned it,"
he said, a thin smile caressing his lips. I told him that God can wait for another day, and I wanted to go back home to get another shot at fixing things with myself. I wanted to live an addiction-free life. I made my choice, and then I looked up at the ball of light in the sky, which became even brighter until it blinded me. I woke up in the hospital bed, choking for air and flailing my arms, trying to reach something to hang on. It was exactly when the doctors were preparing to unplug me from the life support machine. They said it was a miracle. The doctors said that. I replied that they have no idea what I went through on the other side. All I got was raised eyebrows, whispered words, and puzzled looks. I said no more. It was hard to explain. Maybe that was my hell that I had to go to for a while. Maybe those were the demons that I had to drown. 3 minutes that felt like an eternity. Or maybe it was all in my head. Except it wasn't. The morning I woke up, I saw that 3 red dots were engraved in my chest. A reminder to never, ever get to drinking, smoking, or using drugs again. So help me. What I told you happened 10 years ago. I've been sober ever since. Thank you very much for watching the video. If you liked it, please leave a like. Subscribe to the channel if you're new and you don't want to miss any further content. Thank you very much to The Dark Side of M for lending your voice for the character of Isaiah. You did a fantastic job. Your performance brought life to the character. I really enjoyed it. I really encourage you guys to go check out his channel and subscribe if you like it. If you have story submissions for me, send them to storiesforsilverthreads@gmail.com. And every episode is uploaded to my podcast, The Silver Threads Podcast. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next time with another story.